Hello everyone, welcome, and today is all about the new DJI Avata. With me today, I've got Seth Kirk, the managing editor for Drone DJ, and myself, Yifei Zhao. I am also the YouTube host for Drone DJ, as well as I run a drone training school just north of Toronto here. And we have a special guest joining us today, David Mokey. David runs the FPV Light Tracks, which looks super interesting, and we hope to share more of David's events with everyone too. So David, give us a first impression on the Avata.
Well, I was lucky enough to get one of the first units of this palm-size drone, and it came with the new goggles too, and then the new remote controller too. And I got to say, it's the first drone that I've ever owned that I could hand off to a complete newcomer. And they can take that thing and fly it into the apartment, around furniture, out the window, into the courtyard, into their another window, and out of it, and back into the apartment with less than a minute of training. This is how good this drone is.
And you usually do actual FPV stuff, right?
Yeah, I do FPV stuff, and I generally try to stay away from things like this. I tried really hard to get this controller to work when I first got the Avata, and I'm glad that I couldn't get it to work. They just downloaded the new upgraded firmware, which I will try today. But I then jumped into this thing, and the experience is nothing less than amazing. The control is super intuitive. You put the goggles on. I have to mention that they're at 1080p, which is ridiculous. I used to have the version 1 of the goggles, which is what I use traditionally to fly FPV. And the difference between putting these on and putting the new goggles on is like going from HD to analog. From analog to HD. These are amazing. You got diopters in here that you can adjust between -8 and +2. So you don't need to wear your goggles. They're super light and comfortable. And then you can fix these permanently so they don't move. That's first in these goggles. And I can't tell you how happy I was to use this setup. So I can't wait to get rid of these and permanently switch to the goggles too.
Great. And it's interesting because between David and myself, we've actually got all the options for Avata, right? So let's talk about the options first. You can get just the Avata drone, standalone drone. So David was mentioning, yes, literally palm size for the FPV. It's much smaller compared to the original FPV. So standalone drone on DJI website is at $629. And I'll tell you why, you know, the standalone drone is an option, because I had the original FPV, which, you know, we crashed the arm and we still haven't fixed it. So I have the original goggles, right? Motion controller and the original FPV controller. So it's great that, you know, there is a standalone option if you had the original FPV and you want to make use of the previous parts. They are compatible with Avata as of an hour ago. So there was a new firmware update. We updated it and confirmed that the controller is now working with Avata. So that's your standalone option if you have, you know, obviously your previous FPV set. And you can also buy the next one. It's called the DJI Avata Fly Smart Combo. Pro. Let's talk about Pro first. So Pro is what David has. That's the right one with goggles 2, so the second generation of the goggles, and also the motion controller. I do like the new goggles. It is smaller, and it's more user-friendly for us wearing glasses. So definitely I recommend, if you're going to go for it, then ProVio is definitely the way to go. But like I said, if you're looking for a budget version, something a little lower than that, then that's the Fly Smart Combo. So that's the one that comes with the original FPV goggles as well as the motion controller. Now, what it does not come with, it does not come with the original FPV controller. So if you're old school and you just want the controller, you have to get this separately. And I already see some people saying frustrated that it doesn't come with a standard controller. But I guess you know, from what David is sharing, is he's loving the motion controller. So maybe
absolutely,
give it a shot.
Definitely try this. If not for you, for everybody else around you.
Now, question to you guys. What did you think about pricing? Because you're looking at $1,388 US on the ProVio combo. And I looked up the original FPV combo. It's $999. Mm-hmm. So you get a smaller drone, which is more expensive as the overall combo than the original FPV. What did you think?
Well, the rest of the lineup, every new drone that came from DJI in the past, you know, this whole year has gone up from its predecessor. So it is an upgrade. You know, of course, you get a downgrade in speed from what you saw from the original FPV. I don't know if that's a downgrade. That would be a question for David. Like, David, like, do you think this is a downgrade from the FPV or an upgrade?
And like, it's definitely justified? It's a completely different drone. I mean, I wouldn't personally recommend the FPV drone because of the issues that you've recommended that you pointed out, repairability and durability. As soon as you crash the FPV drone, you're going to probably have to replace the arm or some other component, and that's going to take quite a bit of time. And whereas a traditional drone racer, which are these really hardened carbon fiber frame, all you have to do is replace a propeller or perhaps a motor, but they're very quick to change. This drone, on the other hand,
and I do like this is protected.
Absolutely,
so I already crashed into a tree, and they didn't do anything. I just kept on flying, right?
Which is incredible. But I wouldn't fly this the same way that I would say fly an FPV, carbon fiber frame for freestyle. They have very different flying characteristics. This is a little heavier on the frame, but as far as like flying low to the ground indoors without hitting anything, price point, you're looking at roughly the same price that a Bumblebee, HD frame came out when they first came out. It was still roughly around $1,200, $1,300 for the full package, goggle, remote control, drone, and HD transmission camera system. So I think it's actually a plus. And as far as the price point is concerned, it's perfectly reasonable.
Like Kirk mentioned, there's, pricing, inflation, everything is going up. So we weren't expecting this to be the same price as the original FPV for sure.
And yeah, it's a sign. It looks like, speaking from David and what you guys have been talking about, it sounds like a really great drone. I mean, I've read through some reviews. Sadly, I'm the one out here who didn't get a review unit. So if we all hold up our drones, I'll be holding up my V-Captor because it's the only thing that's close to you guys. So you guys seem to love it. I'm looking at buying one possibly. I know our publisher, he bought one, which is where we found out about the golden ticket thing too. We can talk about that later, but so some reviews kind of nag on it, but reviewers are you're gonna see both negative and positive reviews out there for everything, but from the real pilots, everyone seems to love it so far.
I think this is a great addition to your kit.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And before me and David shared the first flight experience, I just want to cover the technical specs. On the camera, it is a 1.7-inch CMOS sensor. They do say it's 48 megapixel, but I mean, that's the same thing with Mini 3 or Air 2S, right? So the real megapixel is 12. It shoots up to 4K 60. It does do 120 only at 2.7K and only when using with the FPV goggles V2. So that's the only downside. I mean, I do like, the slow-mo. I do see comments there saying only 60 in 4K. But keep in mind, even what we're seeing for film and video, if you're not doing high-end, like there's a lot of commercials advertising that shot for social specifically. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing FPV is used more for special, right? Like special release, like a special location, something you can go outside of your regular, filming movements, which is nice as an option. Yeah. So that's there.
And if you don't need super slow motion, I mean, you're for most cinematic stuff, you're taking that down to 24 anyway. So, I mean, that's fine.
Definitely a workaround. Mm-hmm. Control system, there is a new mode, which has got the turtle mode. I mean, when I first saw turtle mode without looking at description, I was thinking, is that the new tripod mode? It's just extra slow, but it's actually not about speed. I don't know why they use turtle mode as the name. So what it is if you crash, if you crash it and it happened to land on its back, right? And if it's a bit further away, you don't want to go pick it up. So turtle mode just flips it so you can continue flying. It's convenience, I would say.
Oh yeah, this was introduced about 3-4 years ago, and it completely changed the way that we fly drones.
There is low latency, 30 milliseconds on the latency and transmission range. It is on Oculus Sync 3, saying the furthest distance you could go is 10 kilometers. But as we know, if you got objects, if you're flying through trees, that's never going to happen. But it's good to know that it's on the OcuSync 3 technology.
I'm sure some of the distance gurus down in Australia who just fly forever will do it, because they were doing it with the Mini 3 at the same time. It's like, oh, 10 kilometers? Yeah, we'll fly 10 kilometers. I'm sure someone will go, is going to be flying 10 kilometers.
It's not coming back,
and then
right?
It's going to drop like 5 kilometers away from you.
Yeah. The one thing I did notice, when battery drops below 10% on some of the other DJI drones, like when auto lands, I could still adjust a little bit, but this, it was just basically just landing. Like I couldn't adjust or do anything. So be careful if it drops 10% for you. Any other interesting specs you guys seen?
The quality of the transmission and the distance, I think, is interesting. They mentioned that it's 10K for the FCC, 2K in the CE, and 6K in the SRRC. Like you mentioned, if you have clean field of view, clean line of sight, I imagine that you are going to get close to these distances, but beware of electrical towers and transformers. I just did a flight where the video just completely got blown out, and I must have only been 2K from the transmitter. And then upon looking at my environment, I realized that I was right underneath and I knew that it was there, but right next to the base of that tower, the video just completely got blocked out, and nowhere else around it did I have a problem. And I was flying a Mavic 3 Mini with someone else next to me, and they didn't have an issue. So I don't know if it's because I was really close
to
the ground.
Yeah, we did the same thing. We did the same distance test on the Mini 3. So one direction, I mean, we're sitting on the 70 acre site, and our neighbor's 160 acres, and we've got another 1,000 acres of just wetlands past it. So we got tons of space to fly. So one direction, when we were going west, we could go, 5 kilometers plus with no issues. But if we turn and go east, where there are a couple of cell phone towers, a couple of kilometers, we started seeing interference, and we had to basically come back.
Yeah, and the interference is kind of shocking compared to traditional analog video systems. Or in my experience, the visual degrades, and you know that it's coming. Here, it was a clear cut where the screen just started garbling completely. Luckily, with the new trigger, you can just let go of it and the drone will stop instantly in its tracks. And you can make your way back towards where you came from and push it back and gain the feedback. And so that was great, just being able to let go of this thing and have it completely stop, not drift, stay exactly in the same spot and slowly make its way back towards me.
Maneuverability is great. I mean, I'm not an FPV person, right? I don't usually fly FPV, and I didn't get much flight time from the original one before we crashed it. But I loved it. I loved flying the Evata. The handling was great. I felt it was more organic. Like if I tried to do a circle on Mini 3, it was always difficult to, keep it consistent. But on Evata, just the movement was really organic. Handling was great. I see someone was asking about the noise. It sounded more high frequency to me, right? It sounded like a big B. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't loud. It was just high frequency.
Yeah,
it's
I was going to ask
screaming
like,
banshee.
Is this going to be noticeable in public? Like, are you going to be drawing a lot of attention or?
In public with a lot of ambient noise around you, probably not. But I was doing it in a field that was completely open and I could hear that thing wherever it was. It was a super high pitch, a screaming banshee type of sound. Whereas the Mavic 3 Mini, I mean, as soon as that thing goes up in the air within 50 feet, it just completely disappears. Whereas the other one, we knew exactly where it was.
And sometimes even with Mavic 3, like the bigger one, with Mini 3, 20, 30 meters, you can hear it. But with Mavic 3, I could, like, if you don't know drones, if you don't really know drones, you could confuse that with someone just running like an electric saw, like a saw bench, like doing some woodworks. With Evata, it's a very specific sound.
Yeah. No, it's about like, it's comparable to the Bumblebee, the Cine Whip. Perhaps a little higher frequency pitch, but it's definitely noticeable. It is not a quiet drone. But to be fair, it's not unpleasant when you have it indoors and you're flying it. You're so stunned by the way it's moving around. It's not that loud that at slow speeds, at least.
And I wouldn't say that's a negative thing. It's not designed to be a quiet drone either. Like you're designed to, get the power out of these small little rotors. So,
yeah. And I've seen worse. So it's not the worst of the list.
Personally, I loved it. We've only got a couple flights out of it, for now. So I'm looking forward to receiving. I mean, my actual V2 FPV goggles is arriving in a couple of days. So I'm looking forward to pairing that app and trying the difference. But for now, I'm loving flying it.
You're going to absolutely love it. It's going to definitely replace all my Cinewebs. It's going to be part of my kit from now on. It's really that easy to use. The footage is incredible. It's incredibly intuitive, very, very smooth compared to other drones. I mean, I've been flying this Venom 9 hexacopter with the GoPro Bones, and the footage that I'm getting out of the Avata is just absolutely impeccable. Super
And
smooth.
that means a lot coming from David, who's been flying FPV for years.
Yes, it's really dumb easy. I'm glad that I don't have to put these things together anymore.
Some of the other accessories available on the Avata, the usual fly more kit, so you get some extra batteries, you get the charging hub with it. There is an ND filter set with it too, if you're looking forward to getting that. Then you can get the separate FPV remote controller. Those are the three product accessories as of now. And I believe this is the Fly More kit that does not have a case. Because David, do you have the Fly More kit, or
I
you
have the
only have
far more combo. It does not come with a case. It's just the box. One of the it's actually two boxes. One of the boxes contains the goggles and the remote, and then the other contains the Avata replacement blades, connector, and battery charger. And I also got an extra battery charger for this demo. Another thing to know, the goggles are powered by their own battery, which lasts up to 2 hours with this
Oh
flexible
yeah, I
cable.
did order extra battery just for the goggles. It definitely will be helpful to swap.
Yeah, and they last 2 hours, so you're gonna have plenty of time with just one pack. But if you have two packs, it'll be gone all day for sure. And the 18-minute flight time on each individual battery on the Avata is nothing short of incredible for a drone of that size that shoots that kind of quality. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
And if you're used to FPV drones don't typically fly that long.
No, most of the time you top out at 12 minutes if you're lucky. If you have a really lean frame, about 7 minutes. So having 18 minutes like this is pretty incredible.
Now, who do you think this drone is for? Do you think it's for professional FPV racers, camera people who are just drone hobbies? What do you think?
Camera people for sure. As far as like the first drone for anybody that wants to get an FPV, I absolutely recommend this and stop there. As far as professional FPV flyers, people like myself that like to have nimble frames that you can use in different situations, this is an awesome asset to have. I am not going to be using this to race through a track. It's not quite designed that way. There are other frames that are more nimble, that are lighter, that are more efficient, if you will. As far as the power to weight ratio and what you're trying to do with it. But if you're trying to get a really stable shot inside of an environment without any fears of blowing your propellers against the walls, then this is the drone to get.
I agree. Kirk, what do you think?
As someone who I'm just listening, I'm just I get all of my stuff's through you guys. I mean, it seems looks, I mean, it sounds like it was a, DJ hit it out of the park on this drone. I mean, and I think we talked about, Mini 3 was great, but I think there was still a lot of like, yeah, it's great, but like, it's the Mini 3, it's the next generation. This one's like, man, they really did great, like versus, they're what they did with the FPV originally. Like this one's like just great.
Yeah, you can fly this through a forest and not have to worry so much about hitting a tree. And the intuitiveness of flying with the goggles, I don't know if you've shared that with your viewer, but you get a little circle in the center of your goggles and you're flying it, and you're just kind of aiming the circle for wherever you're going. And the drone will go exactly where the circle is. So as long as there are no obstructions between you and that tiny little circle, you will fly exactly where you want it to go.
And one question that I saw in the chat, and I want to make sure because I realize that I'm the only one here without glasses. So David, you had the version 2 and they had the adjustable. How do they work with glasses? You take them off and do you, how does that work and everything?
So I used to wear these with my glasses directly on them. And as far as the goggles version 2, I take my glasses off and I just use the diopters that you can change with these little knobs that you have right here. And so you have this -8 and +2 that you can change. And I'm on the higher end of the spectrum, and they've been working out great for me. So I don't have to wear my glasses, and the view is absolutely incredible. And because I don't have to wear my glasses, my eyeballs are actually a lot closer to the screen, which makes the immersive experience even more intense.
I'm looking forward to that because I always hated wearing glasses if I'm wearing VR or
Yeah.
the original, goggles or the original. I still have the original DJI goggles, the white one and then
Oh,
the
yeah.
second one, the gray one, like really big and bulky. That's why I'm looking forward to goggles too because it's smaller, so it's not so, front heavy.
Exactly.
But I did notice even with these FPV goggles, it's I prefer flying sitting down. I just don't want to, like, I didn't feel comfortable standing up, right, with the controller and then the goggles. And it's interesting because to me, on the original goggles, I see like half of my team loving it, the ones who are more risk-taking and don't mind losing the peripheral vision. But half the team, including me, who are a little more OCD, I didn't care much for the goggles before. Like, I'd rather look at the drone to fly. But with Avata, actually, I enjoy using the goggles.
Yeah.
You know, I guess because you know there's protection. So yeah. You don't worry too much.
And being able to release this control stick is very different than having a traditional remote control where you have to be very careful with your throttle input. With this thing, I mean, as soon as you let go and the sensors that it has below it, it just freezes in its track. It doesn't move. There is no drifting. Whereas traditional FPV drones don't have these sensors here that allow, this kind of stability and control. So that takes a lot of the risk out of the equation.
And that's why a motion controller is really handy, because if you use the classic controller, the joysticks are set differently on these controllers. So if you're used to Mavic 3, Mini 3, if you're used to the traditional DJI controller, so if you look at this, this doesn't spring back, right?
That's
like
right.
If I push up and down, it stays in that position. Versus classic controllers, you let go and the drone will hold, but this wouldn't, right? Like it's actually difficult to find exactly the middle. So I was noticing the Avata was either going up or down. I had to really to look for the middle for it to stay. So that's where this comes in handy.
Exactly. This is true with all FPV drones. And this specifically happens when you're in manual mode with this controller, where you're getting rid of the down facing sensors. And then you're also able to unleash all its manual controls, what we call acro mode in FPV flying, which I haven't tried yet, I got to admit. I haven't gotten this to work.
There's a lot more we've got to test still. This is only first impression. I do see comments and questions asking about, raw photos, asking about video. I remember early on, my tech team pointed out, I can't find it from the spec list now, but my tech team pointed out that there could be a 10-bit option with a video recording.
It does say decent, like on the specs.
Say that again.
Just say decently, like on the color mode.
Yeah, I know. So
Decentilink,
I don't know if that's 10-bit or 8-bit at this point. So there are still things we need to try out. Same thing as the actual photo quality. Can you do raw? How much room does that give you for post? How is low light conditions?
Yeah.
So those are things we're still yet to test in the coming weeks.
And all that can still come in firmware, months from now, like the Mini 3 and Mavic 3 have seen.
Yeah, if the camera capability is there, it could come in a firmware update. Who knows? There was another question about battery. I mean, just because my team asked me that when Avata came in, they said, would the original FPV battery work with this?
No.
And then they don't use
DJI. No, no chance.
Know. I'm sure if you're an electrical engineer, you probably could make it work.
So no. So these batteries are only for Avata. Yeah. They don't work with any
How much,
other.
Is that like the bulk of the body pretty much?
That is the bulk of the weight. Yeah, if you take the drone out, the battery is almost
pretty much.
I was hoping, I was hoping they would make Mini 3 batteries compatible.
That would have been really nice.
That would be awesome. That
actually would have been
similar size, right?
Yeah. Although, what's the size?
They weigh three times the weight of a Mini 3 battery pack. These things are chunky.
Okay.
Because Avata weighs 400 grams. So,
410 grams.
And Mini 3 is only, 241 ish. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, I'm actually really looking forward. I mean, one, just because we have a large site, we have a 70 acre site. So, and we have areas with trees, areas with open space. So I'm actually looking forward to setting up, like a course.
And don't get me wrong, before, if you want to fly a course, you're going to love flying it with this drone for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because original, I mean, with all other FPVs, I didn't want to get into it because it's letting, like families, like people who are just interested in drones to come have a fun day. With the other FPVs, just the entry-level barrier on, controlling and handling is too much to get someone to try it. But this, we can actually have fun days. We can have treasure find using FPVs. There's just so much more we can do. And someone was talking about, you know, using this showcase for real estate. Some of our teams who do high-end real estate, they had been using FPV drones like CineHoop, and they're looking to replace that with Avata right now. If you are film people, right, and you want to capture more creative angles going through tight spaces, this is going to take you, you know, a long way, and it doesn't take that much training. If you do any other FPV, it takes a little more training, right? So if you film, it's easier. It's an easier add-on to get the Avata. So those are the things I'm looking forward to do, especially with fall coming up. We've got a lot of maple trees, so I'm really looking forward to trying this with different colors.
And at full speed, it's going to go 60 miles an hour. So this is not a slow drone. I imagine that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be taking these things on courses and are actually going to be traditional drones just because of their ease of use and just their ability of using that and not having bad habits like you might develop with having used these for the last 30 years.
Let's just see. I want to see if there's any other questions we haven't covered. Anything else you guys wanted to add?
The speeds when you're flying in normal mode, you're getting about 17 miles an hour. In sports mode, you're reaching 30. And when you're going full manual with the this joystick, you'll be flying at about 60 miles an hour. Also, durability. I wanted to point out that I did get to crash this thing at full speed in sport mode, 30 miles an hour onto a rock in an open field, and it cartwheeled for about 50 feet. And the only thing that happened is a tiny little crack on the propeller guard. And you can see it here. The propeller guard is also flexible, which is great. It won't shatter. And I did notice that during the crash, the propellers brushed the inside of the propeller guard. All the blades were fine. I flew it right afterwards, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. So this thing is pretty damn resilient.
The one thing I would add is when we were flying today, my team was saying it would be nice to add some kind of dampening, like a soft dampening, because the propeller guards are hard plastic, right? So I wonder if third party would come out, even, you know, like those stick-on little rubberized things, so when it hits, you know, a hard surface, like if I'm hitting leaves, it doesn't really matter much, but it would be nice. I wonder if you can add just, you know, like a tape on something, right? Just to make it a little softer, like add a little cushion would be nice.
That might be useful, especially indoors, but when you start flying at 30 miles an hour, I don't think...
Won't make any difference.
No.
Yeah.
I do see a lot of questions about just like visual line of sight stuff, because I mean, if there's gonna be a lot of new people flying this, they're not gonna probably know the rules here in the FAA. You know, they require a visual observer. Is that up in Canada?
Same thing in Paris, or
they do have. I did have one with me, and they do recommend that you have one unless you're in a specified place where you can fly your drone, and usually they have people there. But yeah, you have to have somebody else next to you just in case. It's especially useful if you have other traffic in the area or there are very difficult things to see, like overhanging cables, telephone lines, things like that. And in Europe, you have these lines everywhere. They're on top of farmland. Yeah. They're in between bushes. It's kind of crazy.
I can't remember what they're called, but you mentioned them. There are certified areas like the FAA sets up that you can fly. There's one I just learned, this one right by me. I don't remember what they're called, though. But yeah, look for those because it might make it way easier than having to find a... Some of us introverts might have to find a friend to go out and fly with. So,
and DJI has in their fly app, you have the possibility of actually looking on the map to see where you can actually fly. And that was interesting. And I'm going to try to pull it up right now. Being in Paris.
I was surprised they kept the same fly app for FPV. I was thinking maybe they would do a different version just for FPV, but it's actually kept the same. And I think I saw a question. Yeah, I saw a question about for lefties, if they're using, I'm not sure if they're asking about the motion controller or these control, because these controllers in fly app, you can swap up.
Right? Yeah, but you can,
for motion,
you can use
controller,
this.
It doesn't really matter.
No, and then for these guys, you can swap out the controls as far as like switching these two if you wish to. At least you could in traditional remote controls. I don't see why you can do it here.
I do see several comments about why the drone does not come with the regular controller, which is the only one you can use in the full manual mode. I guess if you're not an FPV person, if you're a film person, you don't want to do full manual mode, then you don't need that. Yeah, just
This is a very different type of flying. Being able to fly with one hand has its advantages, like adjusting your goggles at the same time. And you really have to try this thing. And I'm, you know, saying this to everyone that has ever flown a traditional remote control. Before you knock it, you got to get your hands on this and at least try it. It's that. I mean, I swear, when I first saw the kit and I had this thing, I spent 3 days trying to find a traditional remote controller and trying to get it to work. And only after that did I really relentlessly use it, and I'm sold. It's that good.
Yep. Yeah. And of course, it is like you can buy it afterwards if you really, really, really need it. You know, if that's the type of flying you do, like it is available still. But you can buy the Avada by itself with no goggles, no controller. So if you already have the V2, you don't really need the new second generation version, and you just want to fly, you can just buy the drone by itself. I wonder
if DJI ever make, let's say, the RC Pro controller compatible with this. Then I can use my RC Pro.
Yeah, that would be nice. I don't know if that's like the controller you want to be flying with it, but you could do that.
I have a lot of DJI remotes.
You know, there's one thing I'm not sure if they would ever consider adding to the goggles. It's years ago, if you're familiar with Movi on the free fly drones, like the big free fly drones. So their Movi gimbal used to have like a mimic controller. So they used to have an add-on that if you just like if you physically move, right? So I wonder if they would ever consider adding that maybe on the actual goggles so I can
head to fly. They do. They have this head tracking function on these goggles that you can actually use.
Okay. Yes.
And so that's not something that I tried.
When I get my goggles.
Yeah, but that's the next thing that I'm testing. And apparently through the menu system that's inside the goggles, you have a little pad here that you can access and all that stuff. You can actually set up these goggles to have head tracking. And then depending upon where you move,
that'll be pretty cool.
It moves with you.
I feel there's gonna be a lot of times flying through the tree. I'm gonna duck, and then the camera's gonna go down. And...
yeah,
there's like flying actual VR, right?
Yep.
I found myself pressing my body when I'm flying with a stick. So sitting down,
I know it's
choice.
Too bad it's not under 250. I was really hoping it would be under 250.
We thought it was going to be because, well, this goes back to the FPV Mini that we saw back in August, no, November, I think, of last year.
Yeah, last year.
And so, yeah, our original thing was, it might be like a miniature FPV and it's going to be less than 250. But yeah, no, I don't know
with the battery and everything. Yeah.
How you would make like a 250. I mean, there's options out there. I know that David probably has one, you know. Sitting around somewhere that's less than 250 grand.
I wonder if they could come up with like a smaller battery capacity. Say if they cut the flight time to 10 minutes, mm-hmm. Can they cut the weight? Can they come up with a smaller battery?
I tested it against this guy, this V9 from FlyWoo. You know, it's a hexacopter with the GoPro bones on it. And this is a even smaller size than the Avatar.
But is I gotta that say, less than 250?
It's slightly more with the camera.
I'm sure you're gonna. That's where you're gonna run into issues that you can't find a camera to put on it that's gonna make it less than 250. Because most of you are gonna be running action cameras.
And I'm sorry, I made a mistake. This is actually less than 259. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
GoPro camera on it. Yeah, and the battery pack. So you can fly something like this, but you're not gonna get the kind of smoothness that you're gonna get out of the Avata, especially if you're not a professional. And that's the thing. It's like right off the bat, if you're a videographer and you grab this thing, you're going to get professional looking footage that somebody who spent, you know, 5 or 6 years flying these guys. And even then, I mean, the assistance that DJI put in there as far as like the horizontal and vertical stabilization is pretty top notch. So you won't have to go and do as much post-processing with your footage as you used to.
Nice. Awesome.
There was a question, would the new goggles be usable with Air 2S? It would be nice, because I believe the second set of goggles, those big gray ones from DJI, was compatible with Mavic 2, Phantom 4. So it would be nice if the goggles, you know, if the goggles 2 would be compatible with the other drones. I guess we'll see.
Hopefully with the firmware update.
So that's all we've got for you on first impression for DJI Avata, and look forward to, you know, hearing more from David and also me and my team to test all the other new features. So stay posted.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.